Psalm 17. How about this? The shadow of God's wings. The shadow of God's wings. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. I have you go to about four different places in the book of Psalms. So we'll read in verse 17. I'll direct you to the next place. Psalm 17, verse 6. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness. O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. Now if you'll turn over to Psalms 36, Psalms 36, and we'll read verses 6 and 7. Psalms 36, verses 6 and 7. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Psalms 57. Just a few chapters over, Psalms 57. And we'll read just the first verse of Psalms 57. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. You know, you take all of these places and you find where it says the shadow of thy wings. And you take these found in four different places. And as a preacher, you know I do that. I just take them and I lay them out in front of me. And then I look at every one. And every one teaches us a little bit different truth, gives us a little bit different perspective. By the time you put it together, you know what? Not only do you have a good Bible study, but you have a wonderful picture of what it means to dwell under the shadow of God's wings. One more place, Psalm 63. Psalm 63. And verse number 7, Psalm 63, verse number 7. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings, look at this last little phrase, will I rejoice. Sounds like to me it's a glad place. Sounds like to me it's a happy place. Sounds like to me if you lost your joy, it's a good place to get it back. Amen. The shadow of God's wings. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us as we just take a few minutes in the beginning, and we're going to be very much in Bible study mode, laying a good scriptural foundation. We're going to squeeze these verses and find out, Lord, the truths that come from them. And then, Lord, at the end, what an application. What a wonderful place. And I don't think it's a place that we have to dwell. I think it's a place for specific times in our life. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to see that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We already talked about living in the shadow of the Almighty. And I think that that was the opening Bible study. And maybe it helped lay the groundwork for all the other ones. Maybe that was the second one. I think it was the first one was under the roof of my house. But then that one. If you've learned how to live under the shadow of the Almighty, that's a good place to be. But you know what? I talked about going out here. And I talked about playing the shadow game. That's something you could do with your kids. And then talk to them about this biblical truth of living under the shadow of the Almighty. And we talked about, hey, what would it take to stay under the shadow of somebody? Well, when they stood still, you're going to have to stay still. When they go forward, you're going to have to go forward. If they turn right, you're going to have to turn right. And by the way, you're always going to have to stay in pretty close proximity. Hey, that's a good way to live your life. You know, somebody asked me, preacher, simplify the Christian life. I said, you know what? Get up every morning, read your Bible, pray, look around, figure out where God is, and head that direction. It's just a good place to be, and it's a good way to live your life. Just include him in everything. Now, okay, so we're talking about living under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, preacher, if we already taught on this, then why do we need to hear about the shadow of God's wings? Is that the same thing? No, it's not. I believe we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, but I think we visit the place under the shadow of God's wings, and I think that you're going to agree with me after we get done studying this, because I think it is a necessary place, a good place, a safe place for very specific times in your life. And so let's see what the Bible teaches us. Let's see, I'm going to give you several things about the shadow of God's wings. Number one, the shadow of God's wings is a voluntary place. It's a voluntary place. You know, if we read in Psalm 17, where David says, I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand, which putteth their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. So we're going to talk about why it's a vital place in just a minute. But let me just say this. This is something you have to make a decision about. Okay, we're going to see that this is a place that you need to get to during times of attack, satanic attacks. This is time you need to get to during times of calamities. The Bible's going to be very specific. But you know what? I've watched people go through satanic attacks. I've watched them go through personal calamities, and I've seen them run away from God or make no effort to get any closer to God. Come on. Well, in our pride, I'll figure it out. I can do this. I can handle this. And so let me just say, God's not going to make you go there. If you go there, it's a voluntary place. I already mentioned this, that it is a vital place. So when do I need this? If you'll go back to Psalm 17, then we read that this is a place that you need to go during times where the enemy rises up against you. And that's what we read in verses 6 through 9. Keep me as the apple of thy eye, verse 8. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. When? We'll look at the verse before that. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand, them that put their trust in thee, from those that who? Rise up against them. There's going to be times when the enemy, the wicked one. How do you know that? Look at verse 9. Okay. Hide me from the shadow of thy wings, from the wicked that oppress me, from my, what kind of enemies? Deadly. And you know you've got a deadly enemy? Right. You know that he is that roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may play patty cake with? Devour. Okay, and there's going to be times, we've taught this before, where the devil launches a very specific satanic attack. And you have to be aware of that. Dads, you got to be on high alert on this, okay? Come on, dads, we're the protector. We've been given protector responsibilities. So he's going to go after you, because if he can destroy the leader of the home, he's got a good chance of knocking out everybody else. But also, you have to be alert. It could be an attack against you. It could be attack against one member of your family. It could be attack against your whole family. I mean, I have watched as a pastor, something I try to be on high alert about, where families just go under a time of satanic attack. And it's just not one thing. It's just like he sent 5-6 different things in a very short amount of time, a coordinated satanic attack from a deadly enemy that's trying to destroy a marriage or destroy a home or get people out of the will of God. Hey, I don't know if there's a family in this church, I'm looking around, that hasn't been there. Go like this if you think, okay, we've been there before, we've experienced that. All right, so have we. And so, you know, we need, as a church, we need to watch out for each other. We need to kind of know, hey, you know what? I don't need to know everything, but I know enough to know we need to pray more for this family. And they're going through this right now. They're going through that right now. It's not one thing. It's not two things. Sometimes it's not even three. It can be 4, 5, 6, 7 things. Now, folks, listen to me. When you have a coordinated attack from a deadly enemy, you know what the Bible says here? That's the time to hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Okay, you better get as close to God as you possibly can. You better park yourself. There's a difference for me staying within shadow distance of him. It's another thing, me getting under his wing. And folks, listen to me. There's just times where I've got to spend extra time in the Word of God. I've got to spend extra time in prayer. I've got to get as close to God as I can possibly get, because it could be life or death, spiritual life or death for me and my family. And so don't run from, please listen to me. You know what? I know it's hard. And I know sometimes the devil can put you in that mental isolation chamber where you feel like nobody cares and nobody else pays attention and nobody, listen, God cares. God cares. And the devil will try to even, he will even try to convince you that God is your enemy. The enemy, will, if we're not careful, will convince us that God's our enemy. Oh, he's a friend that sticketh closer to the brother. Don't run from him, get to him, okay? So that's one of the times is during a satanic attack. Now turn over to 57 verse 1. We're going to bounce a little bit between these verses, but Psalms 57, 1. So during a time of satanic attack, folks, get under the wing, hide under the wing, okay? And then we're going to talk about these during times of great calamities. Psalms 57, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot. Am I in the wrong place? I sure am. All right. That one looked like a 7. You know, I picked up a large print Bible at the Sword of the Lord. And I thought, you know, maybe it's just time. I mean, you know, us guys, we surrender slow. All right. And here's the problem, Brother Joe. The large print Bible, I opened it up, it still looked like small print. Do they have like a giant size Bible? I just want a Bible you can change the font size on, you know. So I could have swore that 51 was a 57. Amen. All right, verse 1. Be merciful. Thank you. Yeah, Lord. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Wait, when? All the time? Live there all the time? You don't have to live there all the time. There's times you better get there. Until these what? Calamities be what? I like that last word because it brings us hope. There are times that God allows calamities to come into our life. But you know what? Listen to me. Aren't you glad that you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but you walk through it? Okay. Listen, don't despair. When you're in the middle of it, it may seem like, preacher, this is never going to stop. It's never going to come to an end. When calamities come, they come for a season. But you better know where to get. I mean, look right up here. I mean, I could talk about personal things. I'm just going to tell you, in relationship to my cancer journey over the last 3 years, whew, there's been stretches, okay, that I needed to park myself right there. And I had to decide that's where I needed to go. Now, look right up here. All right, I need to say something to all of you. Sometimes it's okay not to be okay. All right? And that's hard for us guys especially because we're going to fix everything. That's what we do. We're fixers, you know. We're going to overcome everything. We're going to... Sometimes in the time of calamities, it's okay not to be okay. But it's not okay not to get to where you can be okay. And there were stretches of times where it's like, all right, you know what? Sometimes I talked about going dark. All right. And there was times when I just like wasn't answering texts and wasn't, I mean, you know, where were you? I was hiding. Where? In a good place. You know, I just needed to be there for a while. And by the way, you don't have to have cancer to relate to this. It can be 1,000 different things. But I'm going to tell you something. When there's so many things going on in your life at one time and it's the point where it's out of control and you don't even know where to turn anymore and you don't know what the answer is anymore, get there. Get under the wings, the shadow of his wings. Get as close to God as you can possibly get. And there's times where, you know what, you turn the Bible on your phone and you pull the cover over your head and then you peeked out, looked around. Nah, we'll see what it looks like tomorrow. Say, you did that? Oh, yeah, there was a couple times in there. Just like, Cheryl, bring me my food. Okay, never did a bedpan. Always went to the bathroom. You needed to know that, didn't you? Well, I wanted to let you know I didn't stay there all the time. All right. There's a bathroom under the wing. All right, so. Wow. I don't think I spent enough time under the wing today preparing this. I did not. So let me move on quickly. All right. The shadow of God's wing. Come on, we're trying to do V's. And then you're going to watch me turn this thing. You're going to be impressed, okay? So it's a voluntary place. It's a vital place. It's a VIP place. Ah, not bad. Come on, give me a little credit. All right, let's go back to Psalm 17. Well, look at this. Is it a VIP place? Yeah, I think you're going to like the description when you see the verse. I wouldn't even be surprised if you broke out in a little bit of applause, even though we don't normally clap in church, you know. But how about this? Verse 7, show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee. Again, you got to volunteer. You got to decide to do that. From those that rise up against thee. Now, verse 8, watch this. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Woo! Come on, men. That's a pretty intimate phrase. If you're going to refer to any woman as the apple of your eye, Brother Young, finish the statement for me. It better be your wife. If I said that, that would be reserved for a very special person. Are you seeing this? You know what? God is always present. But you know what? He's abundantly present during times of testing, during times of calamities. Listen, he allows, preach, I don't understand why God would allow this. You know, sometimes God allows certain things because he wants to draw you closer to him. He wants you from time to time to know that you can't do it without him. He wants you to experience a level of intimate relationship with him that you will never find until you go through these types of things. Whew. That's why sometimes people say, I've said this before here, I think, preacher, would you choose cancer if you could do it again? No. Are you an idiot? No. But would you change cancer? Would you change it? No. I can't. I wouldn't. You know what? Because there's too much I've gained from it. There's a way I know God and have discovered God through it. Now, listen, you're going to go one way or another when you hit calamities, when you go through these orchestrated satanic attacks. If you're not careful, you're going to listen to the liar, the devil. And you're going to turn your back on God or run from God or be bitter at God. What you better do is just tuck yourself right here under the wing. Get as close as you can. Just decide, I'm going to trust him. What about this? I don't care. I'm going to trust him. But how about that? I don't care. I'm going to trust him. But why is all of this? I don't care. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. Woo. So it's a VIP place. When you're there, you become as the apple of his eye. Well, that's pretty neat. It's a revitalizing place. Okay, you see that? I've still got the V going. I know, but I put a re in from it. But are you okay with that? I mean, that's slid it in a little. But the next one I want to try to get by with, and I probably won't. Miss Biber, I can always tell. She barely accepted this one. A revitalizing place. Say, what do you discover there, preacher, when you talk about finding things you've never found and experiencing God? Okay, we're going to bounce around a little bit. Let's see here. Where am I? Psalms 36. All right, we got to bounce around a little bit. But these are worth taking the time, so we're just bouncing around a little bit in the book of Psalms. Psalms 36, verse 7. Folks, here's a word. How many times do we read this word and then it just like, it's like God made me walk into it like this and see it. Okay, how excellent is thy, what's the next word here? Now, I mean, I've read that 1,000 times and probably used it in sermons. But you ever think about that word, just the word itself? I mean, there's love and there's kindness. And then God at times just marries the two together and he just shows you his love in such a kind way. That is like, okay, I've always known you're good, but wow. Folks, you don't find that just in the shadow. You find that under the wing. Isn't that good? How about chapter 17, verse 7? We'll just put a big amen on what we just said. 17, verse 7. Okay, he said, how excellent. So it's excellent loving kindness. How about 17 verse 7? Show thy marvelous. Hey, I'm going to tell you, once you've been there and you've experienced, you can't put enough good adjectives in front of what you've experienced. When you just, you know, there's nothing left of you. And God just comes in that moment and just like reveals his love and his kindness to you in a way that's like, it floods your soul, it surrounds you, it baptizes you. And you just walk away understanding that during the most difficult times, God has a way of just showing you how much he loves you and show you small kindnesses. And that probably he's been showing you all along, but now you're paying attention to maybe a little bit. Whew. So you're reminded of God's marvelous, excellent, loving kindness. Chapter 57, let's go back there. You're reminded of God's abundant mercy. 57 verse 1. I need to speed up a little, but I'm having too much fun. You're reminded of God's abundant mercy. Notice verse 1 of Psalms 57. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. And in the midst of calamities and attacks, folks, what you really discover is how much mercy God brings in with it. You know, you think about it, and we talk about Job, and of course it's an incredible, the like top Bible example of a man going through an orchestrated satanic attack. And yet, throughout all of that process, God always baptizes even what he allows with a measure of mercy. And we discover that God not only gives us grace, which us, that's unmerited favor, we're receiving things, come on, that we really don't deserve. But mercy, God shows us sometimes that he withholds things. Listen, as bad as it is, let me just look right up here. As bad as it is, without the mercy of God, it could be worse. And by the way, it's something that helped me. As bad as it is, I promise you there's people going through worse. And about time I'd get to feel sorry for myself, all of a sudden, you know, over the prayer chain or some other preacher send me a prayer request, and I'm reading about something. Somebody's burying a child. Somebody just lost their wife. You know, Brother Lassiter, outside of a miracle, calls me in the middle of my second year and diagnosed riddled with cancer to the point where he had to resign his church. 2 months after diagnosis, he had to resign his church and decided to spend what probably will be his last days with his family. God's given me 3 years. This is the third year anniversary right here, this month. Third year of my diagnosis. Wow. You know, when I got that diagnosis, Brother Levi, you know, we just celebrated our 38th anniversary, and I don't know why I thought this, but I thought, man, I'd sure like to hit 40, but maybe not. And guess what? We gotta experience 40. I mean, I'm just saying, folks, don't feel so sorry for yourself that you don't recognize the mercy, that you don't allow yourself to experience that loving kindness, because it's there. But you know where you need to get to. Well, I don't feel it. Well, are you under the shadow? Well, yeah, the Almighty. I mean, under the wing. Because there's things there you are not going to experience anywhere else. All right? Hope this is helping you. Amen. Psalm 63, verse 7. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wing will I rejoice. Two things in this verse here. Help. I want to get some, preacher, I need help. Let me tell you where you can get it. Under the shadow of his wing. How about this? Rejoicing. It's crazy. Because here you're going through an orchestrated satanic attack, and you're so devastated, and you don't know where to turn, but you're smart enough to run to the mother hen and get under her wing. And then all of a sudden, not only do you get loving kindness and marvelous loving kindness, excellent loving kindness, abundant mercy. And next thing you know, God just begins to help you in ways that nobody else in the world could help you. And the next thing you know, you're smiling. I don't know how to explain it. It's just when you get close enough to him, nothing seems that big anymore. Nothing seems that bad anymore. It's just like God kind of tucks you in and says, I got this. I got this. Yeah, but I got this. Okay, why don't you just cast it on me? Why don't you just get some sleep? Why don't you just give me your concerns and let me trade those concerns for something called the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Why don't you let me help you? Why don't you just let me help you? Okay, God. Help. Help. It's a rejoicing place. Y'all know the song, Under His Wings. I am safely abiding. Think about this. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am his child. Verse 2, under his wings, listen, what a refuge in sorrow. Come on, those of you grieving, still grieving. How the heart yearningly turns to his rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort and there I am blessed. Under his wings, oh, what precious enjoyment. There will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. And then, of course, that beautiful chorus. Under, can you help me sing it? Under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Ah, what a good place. What a good place. Well, we had every Sunday school class teach this. I said, do we have one copy of this little red hen thing? She said, we got a whole stack of them. You had the entire Sunday school, every teacher teach. I said, when was that baby chick Sunday? The infamous baby chick Sunday. Worthington now has a city ordinance that they did not have before we had baby chick Sunday. And strangely, I'm very proud of that for some crazy reason. Hey, here it is, farmer. All right, simple story. Here's the farmer. It looks like he's got problems. Fire's coming. And so here's a baby or mother hen. She's got them little baby chicks. Oh, my goodness sakes. Hey, can they fly away at that age? Can't fly away. Where are they going to run to? Where are they going to go? Here's this little baby chick. Look at this. I mean, he heard mama chuckling. And what do they do? What do hens do? Clucking. Thank you. Chucking. It's not a time to be chuckling. It's a time to be clucking. I should have practiced this more. I really should have. I told Brother Nichols, man, you wouldn't believe the time I put in on this. He said, how much? I said, none. None at all. Uh-oh, in trouble. Didn't run to mama. You're going to traumatize kids. I was so glad when I was young I was traumatized by these. It's called learning the fear of the Lord, by the way. Stop worrying about their feelings. You better worry about their eternity. And guess what? Didn't go to mama. And there the fire is. Finally swept through, passed by. Man, he lost his crops, lost his hay. What's this little thing here? Farmer surveying the damage. Kicking the mound with his foot, it rolled over and before his startled eyes. See, it was right there. I should have just read it all. There scattered a brood of downy yellow chicks. Reverently, now he examined the seared object, finding it was the little red hen that had willingly given her life to the flames that her little flock might be saved. Look at that. With a blackened hand, he took the soiled hat from his bowed head and stood reverently and meditation. The memories of the day when he first sought shelter beneath the outspread protection of the wings of God's abundant grace were borne in upon him as he saw before him in the charred body of the hen and her living chicks, a picture of the Savior and the saved. That's a good picture to follow that. He thought of the blessed Lord Jesus dying on the cruel cross in his place, suffering a horrible death that he so unworthily might have life everlasting. Think about this. Man, I forgot about this verse till I read this earlier. The tender words of the Lord Jesus when he said in Matthew 23:37, remember what Jesus said? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. All of a sudden that had a new and fuller meaning. He knew the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross when the fires of hell had spent their awful fury upon him as he bore the sins of the world. Meant that any boy or girl, man or woman who would confess their sins and receive him as their personal Savior would escape the awful flames of hell, would have their sins forgiven and be made a child of God. He suffered this cruel death on the cross to pay for your sin and my sin, boys and girls, men and women. Woo! Would anyone here like to right now invite Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be your Savior? Think about that. And then it says, teacher, after the invitation, you might wish to close the class by softly singing, under his wings, I am safely abiding. Good place to go for salvation. But folks, it's also a really, really good place to go when the devil's just decided to put you in his crosshairs. And it's a really good place to go when calamities arise in your life and all of a sudden for the first time you're facing something you've never faced before. Listen, not time to quit on God. Not time to walk away from church. Come on. Not time to give up the Sunday school class or quit your bus route. You know what it's time to do? Just get as close to God as you can. Spend as much time in the Bible as you can. Look right up here. It's okay sometimes not to be okay. It's not okay not to know where to go when you're not okay. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for these beautiful lessons, for taking me to a little word in the Bible and let me chase it around and all the things we've experienced. I pray for our church, Lord. And there's never a time in a church this size where there's not calamities. There's never a time in a church this size where there's not an individual, a family, somebody going through orchestrated satanic attacks. And Lord, I just pray that you'd always help us to remember what a good story. I think you're calling for us. I think you want us. Are we going to run towards the flames or are we going to run towards the shadow of the wings of our precious God? Bless the invitation, we pray in Jesus' name.